You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. The show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I don't say that enough. I was told that I need to say the name of the show a little bit more, Miss Ellen.
Tagged everywhere. So hashtag Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Yeah.
Hashtag Sita Begee.
There's a lot of Viewpoint this and that all over Facebook.
No, there's no Sita though.
That's true. Yeah.
You're only one original, the OG.
That's right. So we have an action-packed show today. My co-host Ellen Little is here, and we're going to be heating up the airwaves with conversations right here about climate change. We're going to be talking a little bit about a friend later who's calling in from New York. He just made a film called Rated. But before we bring on Mr. Simon Cohen, I wanted to introduce us in studio. We have my friend Enid Morgan is here. Welcome to the show, Miss Enid. And she has
Thank
to bring her
you.
Mic closer to her. We forgot to fix her mic.
I got my
and friend. We also have my friend Geraldine Blanchard is here with Global Travel.
Global Tours and Travel.
You see, yes. I knew she'd plug herself in right in there.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And you know what? I appreciate you taking the time off from your business to come in.
Thank you. It's
a and pleasure. Then we have a friend of the show and a good friend of mine. Anne-Marie Wolf is here, retired teacher. Educator.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here.
And she's going to be joining in the conversation. We're going to be talking about the Brevard Cultural Association and Sports and Cultural Association later in their big gala that they're having. It'll come out somehow, Ellen. And Ellen Little is here. BACASCA, it's called. BCASCA. But, you know, Ellen, before we talk to our guest who's calling in, we have a gentleman who's calling in from New York City, and he's calling in to speak. His name is Simon J. Davis Cohen, and he's calling in to speak about the movie that he just made. He is a researcher, he is a writer, and he is also he also has his own newsletter. It's called Air to the Ground, and I found him through, as usual, on public radio. Was listening to NPR one day, and I heard him speaking about climate change and the farming industry, and it was interesting. So I reached out to him. So we'll have a nice conversation, a robust conversation with him in a little bit. But before he calls in, I just want to tell our listeners a little bit about the three ladies who are here in studio with us today. We're going to be talking about BACASCA. And what BACASCA is doing is we're trying to build a cultural center in Palm Bay. And so this weekend we're having a huge gala. And we're going to be talking about how to get tickets, how many people are involved in putting on this beautiful gala
at the
and what a beautiful organization to belong to right here in Brevard, that not just Americans but people from the Caribbean can meet and enjoy each other's cultures and what's happening. Correct.
Yes.
Is that what it's all about, Miss Geraldine?
Yes, it is.
And of course contributions are gladly accepted for BACASCA and what they're doing.
Right, but and it's benefiting the Multicultural Development Center that they're building.
Right, and you know, Ellen, before I started prepping for the show today, I was listening to CNN, and I just wanted to say to our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, I've been watching how they're stalking Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and I just want to say to the people out there, please stop it. Because, you know, I was one of those people who loved Princess Diana. And every time they talk about stalking these, you know, the prince and Meghan and the baby, it brings back memories of what we should not be doing. Let the people live their lives in peace.
Unfortunately, the paparazzi has gotten out of hand. And they're just waiting to catch those moments of maybe somebody's indiscretions, you know, by mistake, whatever it happens to be. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and so that was one thing that I thought I'd bring up on the show today. And then the other thing is... on the way here, I was listening to what's happening with all the strikes with the teachers' unions in Chicago. And I'm very concerned about the children. Who is teaching the children when the teachers are striking? And the teachers have a right to ask for benefits. They have a right to ask for a better pay. But the thing is, I was worried about the kids because a lot of parents have to work. Yes. And what's happening to these children when the parents have to stay home with the kids? I mean, it's a huge, it's a big mess up there. And maybe Anne-Marie, you could jump in really quick with that because, you know, we all want a quality of life. We want a great public school for our children. We want our children to be educated. But, I mean, why aren't the elected officials sitting down with the teachers' unions and putting children first, communities first?
It's not that they don't care. It's the excuse is always, we don't have the money. But basically, they do. They so much is wasted on things that are not necessary. For instance, the school board members shouldn't be getting paid more than a beginning teacher. Right there.
Yeah. It is concerning. I hope they resolve this issue because it's not just in Chicago. It's all over the country.
Well, I remember,
we're watching that.
I remember when I went to school and in grade school, there was a teacher strike. And we wound up going to school for so long to make up for those days where the teachers were on strike. We had a 2-week summer break.
Yeah, they put a burden on everyone.
And we had to go right back to school again. It was like, and I don't think we got out of school until like August 15th. And then we started Labor Day.
But
well,
they don't do that
if we have any elected officials listening in Brevard and around the United States, pay attention to the children. Put the children first, please.
Amen.
But anyway, so on the phone, we have Simon J. Davis Cohen, and he's calling in from New York. He's a writer, he's an editor, he's a researcher. And I have to say, I watched his film this morning, Rated, and it was riveting. Amazing work. So welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and thanks for taking the time to call in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I was just telling the girls, I said, we chatted on the way here, and I really appreciate the fact that I was able to track you down after listening to you on NPR. You know, that's what's good about every day when we wake up, when we could give back to our community, when we could give back to the United States, when we can give back to the world. We can use our voice for the voiceless to educate people and make them aware of what's going on, not just in our community and our home, but all over the world. And I think what you were speaking about was climate change and leadership and for climate policy and how it affects what ends up on our table and how people should get together behind the farmers. So can you, before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I'd like you to share your thoughts about that with our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Absolutely. So my name is Simon Davis Cohen. I'm a freelance journalist and filmmaker. I write for a bunch of different outlets. I just came out with this film that Sita was referencing called Rated for theappeal.org. And I run a newsletter called Ear to the Ground that tracks state legislation and local news stories from around the country. And that story that you're mentioning, that I was on the Takeaway, the NPR show, was about kind of some of the more unexpected or complex impacts of climate change in the Pacific Northwest, particularly, and how those impacts are affecting farm workers and how farm workers are responding and adding climate change to their organizing strategies to their success in doing so in Washington State in particular. So I'll just give a brief kind of rundown of that. So one of the stories was about how due to climate change and warming summers in Washington State, the berry harvesting season has been essentially condensed, which means that blueberries and raspberries are starting to ripen around the same time, whereas previously they'd been staggered. And the condensing of that season means it affects the labor market, because previously workers would pick raspberries, then the next month they would pick blueberries. But when those seasons get condensed, it creates a crisis. And so farm workers are really the experts on these types of issues. And so in response to issues like that, as well as, you know, heat strokes on the job, just harder working conditions with forest fires that impact people who work outside, and then just hotter working conditions. Farm workers in Washington State were really able to, they've taken a real leadership role in.
I was just going to say that they would be the first ones to take a leadership role because they're on the front lines, so to speak.
Right, exactly. And there was a they're doing a good job in kind of reframing like what is a green job, because we often view green jobs as, you know, just some construction worker building a solar panel, but we don't think about the need to transform the agricultural economy essentially, or how we produce food. And also within that is, you know, the way that we devalue farm workers. Like, we don't view farm workers as farmers. We view them as farm workers, as though they don't have any expertise or, so we're not really valuing those jobs in a way that views them as leaders in society. So that was what that story was about.
But Simon, how? I'm not sure. Do you want to be called by your entire name or just Simon Cohen? It's a good name. It's easy.
I actually have a hyphenated last name, Simon Davis Cohen. So I have two last names, Davis and Cohen.
So we'll call you Simon. So we'll call you Simon Davis Cohen if we could. So the thing is, how can we get that message across? Because we're living in such political times when people don't put value on everybody's lives, and how do we get that message across that yes, these are valuable people, and what they do is nourishing our bodies, and their work is ending up on your plate or in the grocery stores. People go in and they see the price of something went up 10, 15 cents, maybe a dollar, but they don't think about it. But we need to make people aware that, yeah, if somebody is toiling in the hot sun, in the rain, different places, different climates, to bring that to you. Mm-hmm. How do we message that so that people understand that this has to be legislation that's reformed in many places?
Yeah, so that's a big question, and I think it's very localized in how that happens. So in Florida, for example, you guys have the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which is like a farm worker organization that advocates for better pay for farm workers in Florida. In the Northwest, there are some farm worker unions that are organizing farm workers, but also presenting policy solutions on the state level. So one big thing right now is how I don't know if you're familiar with the H-2A worker visa program, but for those not familiar, it's a federal visa program that's essentially allows for seasonal workers to come to the United States to do seasonal labor. And just in the last few years, the use of this program has exploded. So it's just taken off with the whole crackdown on immigration in the country.
I think that's what they used to call the guest worker program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, it's called the guest worker program. Exactly. So with this explosion of the guest worker program, there is room for states to take a leadership in securing labor and just basic health conditions and standards for workers. But basically, there's a whole host of levers of power that are involved in this stuff, from farm worker unions to state governments, local governments, et cetera. So. We could talk more about
right.
that.
But you know, I always wondered why, Americans themselves, a lot of Americans don't want to do this kind of work, right? And oftentimes when we see memes on Facebook with people and it's always somebody from a different country, what has happened to the labor in this country that you have fruits that are rotting, you have people that just don't care to get involved in picking their own crops, But yet still, we make, you know, we stigmatize those that come here and do that kind of work.
Right. Exactly. I think a big part of that is assuming that people can do this labor. Like that, oh, if you want to do it, you can do it. So maybe it's not that they don't, that like local, I mean, there are a lot of people that, I mean, one thing is, if you value that work, you'll pay for it. You'll pay better wages for it. So if it was paid better, then more people would want to do it, A. B, we think of it as, oh, this person doesn't want to do this labor, rather than maybe that person doesn't know how, and they're not actually an expert in farming, because it takes generations of knowledge to really to become an intelligent farmer. So it's not something that just anybody can do.
There's a science to milking a cow and getting it into a bottle to sell it, and also to plant crops and be able to have enough to bring it to a market to sell it and make a living. I hear you, but you know, I think this generation that we have now, they just, a lot of people just prefer to be indoors on air conditioning, on their phones. I know my children and other kids, people we know, you tell them to go outside and sweep a yard, they don't want to do it. You know, it's like the work ethics, I think, to some degree, is not what it used to be for people to like jobs on the outdoors, in the outdoors like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's reframing the problem as, you know, there are a lot of people that do want to do these jobs, and we should treat them and respect them fairly.
With dignity and respect. And I see
Enid
is shaking her head. She has a lot of experience with people, and she knows, she understands this thing. If you want to jump in here, feel free.
Yes, because I think that the people who provide food for us on a daily basis are very valuable people. Without the people with the farms, what would we do in the cities?
Mm-hmm.
We had no food because there's nowhere to plant food in the cities. So the people who go out there and work on the farm each day in the rain and in the sunshine, it's tough work. And it's very, the payment, the wages is so low. But we should put, you know, emphasis on those people, give them a little better wages because they're providing an extremely valuable service.
Yeah, we should. We really should. I mean, I look at it myself sometimes and I'm like, the guest worker program that he's talking about, I know a lot of people from Trinidad and other areas in the Caribbean that came on those programs.
Yes.
And, you know, with the help of God, they were able to work and take the money back and build their houses, raise their children, send them to school. So it does a lot of good when people are able to hear about that program and apply to come to the United States and do that kind of work. But let's transition a little bit away from that and tell us, what else do you do? Because you're unique in what you do. You find articles, you find people that are doing things all over the world, all over the country, and what the mainstream media is not speaking about and addressing, you find a way to let us know what you're doing. So tell our listeners a little bit about your newsletter, and then I want to talk a little bit about your film, Rated.
Absolutely. One of my main kind of interests or focal points is stories that don't get national attention, and trying to kind of diversify what we're paying attention to. So there's all sorts of new laws being passed on the state level, on the local level, interesting laws being passed. There's all sorts of local stories that are being reported on that aren't being reported on as well. So I run this newsletter. It's called the Ear to the Ground newsletter, that I read new state laws, I read local newspapers, I receive information from like grassroots political organizations, so just kind of keep track of information that is doesn't gain national attention. And subscribers, you can go to patreon.com/eartotheground to subscribe. It's like $1 a month or more if you're feeling generous. And you receive the newsletter that just features, each story is just about one small paragraph in length, highlighting, you know, an interesting new law, these types of things that are really affect people's day-to-day lives but don't get the attention that, you know, a large national story gets. So it's just to kind of stay in the know of, like, these more mundane but really important things.
And I like the way you write it, Mr. Simon. It's enough to where the reader doesn't get bogged down with the story. It's quick. Like, you write things and you use things like driving white black, but then you explain it quickly. Or you write about racism and discrimination, but then someone could read it and say, you know, he's got a great point here. So I like it. I like the way your style in writing. It's not long. People can go in there in your newsletter and they could figure out a lot of things. So what made you write, what made you do that film Rated? What was it that you saw and you said, my God, because you were right. I mean, out of 120 people, 95% were black or brown. And it's almost like people were arrested and charged because of their association with others that they grew up with.
Absolutely. So this was a big story in 2016 in the city where, you know, they announced this very large gang raid, the largest in New York City history. And they used this very dehumanizing language of gang membership and, you know, terrorizing communities that in order to justify the raid. But there wasn't much, the authority didn't provide real substantive detail on what these individuals were really accused of doing. So I followed the story. I did some reporting on it and ended up doing this film, Rated, for theappeal.org. And it touches on, it kind of pushes back against the NYPD's narrative of precision policing, what they call precision policing, which is what they pivoted to after Stop and Frisk. So when Stop and Frisk was kind of denounced and held that the NYPD's use of Stop and Frisk was unconstitutional, the NYPD kind of conceded, the New York Police Department conceded and said, okay, we're not going to do Stop and Frisk. We're going to do this thing that we call precision policing, and it's very targeted, and we're going after the worst individuals in society, gang members. And it's kind of like a repurposing of the super predator narrative by a different name. So this kind of dehumanizing language. So I really dug into this one particular indictment that involved 120 individuals where they used a lot of social media surveillance. They used conspiracy laws and highlighted how, you know, the NYPD has a gang database. It's a gang surveillance database of thousands of people in the city that they've labeled as gang members. And 99% of people in that database are people of color. So it's just this, you know, vastly racially disproportionate form of policing and surveillance. So the more layers you peel back, the more kind of insidious it is. And it's a very complex issue because they frame it around, you know, these narratives of
the gangs. Well, they use the right words, but you know, you and I were talking as I was driving towards the studio today, racism has such deep historical roots in our society, and it's really sustained through with institutions, policies and practices, and I really feel like in my heart that in this generation, this time on our planet, the only way for all of us to stop racism and hatred and fear is really to use our voices in our homes, at schools, in places of worship, to treat people with respect and put value in everybody's lives. Because all these things, I think, whether it's New York or Baltimore or here in Florida or wherever it is, it's human beings using their voices in such negative way to bring such stress and treat others in such an inhumane manner for being what God made them, black, brown, white, whatever it is. So, I mean, after you made the film, what kind of a feedback did you have from people in the community?
Yeah, I think there was a big, because there was a lot of media attention to the indictments at the time, and there, but it was all coming from the police. So people were very appreciative of, you know, that a more complex story was being told, and the impact on the communities that story was being told. So people were appreciative of that. But it's also a citywide issue. So there was a lot of interest, you know, from other neighborhoods and other communities that were like, oh, this happened in our community. Like, it's not just this one indictment, but, you know, these indictments and policing tactics are happening all over the city. So there was, for example, one youth organization that ended up basing their youth summer program on the film and investigating how that issue and policing tactic impacts their community in Brooklyn, whereas the documentary is based in the Bronx. But so just to say, like, it helped connect some dots around the city, and folks were, yeah, I got a pretty good
reviews. Well, I think, you know what it is too, sometimes you hear, you know, police are here to protect and serve, and respect goes both ways, but oftentimes people are so reactive instead of proactive. So hopefully your film would teach people to be more proactive and not after the fact. But I thought it was a very engaging film, very informative, very factual, and you covered every aspect of the story. And thank you for putting it out there and exposing the ugly truth of what happened with those 120 people, because not all of them were criminals, not all of them were murderers. And it just broke my heart when some of the young men in the film were talking about after they were released from prison, that where do they go then? Because they couldn't talk to their friends, they couldn't stay engaged with people they grew up with. And that in itself is another film in the making, I would think. Where do you go from here, you know?
Yeah, so I'm actually making a follow-up to the film. It's going to be a shorter one, but it examines how ICE got involved in the indictment, even though the vast majority of the defendants were U.S. citizens. So it kind of examines how ICE is involved in an indictment that involves primarily U.S. citizens. So there's a lot to explore on it. Well, and people can check it out.
Well, thank you. So, my dear friend, why don't you, for our listeners who are tuning in, we are speaking with Simon J. Davis Cohen. He's a writer, an editor, a researcher, and a director. Please check out his film, Raided, and also look at his newsletter called Air to the Ground. Thank you for calling in. Ellen will take it from there. And
yes, thank you so much for calling in. And by the way, everything is posted that we talked about today on our Facebook page so far with all of the links and so forth. But we're going to listen to some sponsor segments here. So we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard live on air all over the world. All you have to do is Google WWBC and hit the on-demand app. Comes right up.
1510WWBC.com.
Actually, now I just put in WWBC and it comes right up.
It comes right up. Because you've been doing it for a long time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I got to teach Sita a little bit about Google.
Yes.
And how that works.
Actually, you Google my name, is there's so many pages. I'm like, woo.
You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness, Lord. Thank you, Ellen.
Tie it all together for you, girl.
But
so while we got a quick minute, I know the ladies are here to talk about this great gala that we have coming up for Bacasca, which is the Brevard Cultural. Oh, boy. I got to get this right before Sunday.
Enid, before let Saturday. Enid tell us.
A Go behind ahead. The base. B-A.
It's Bacasca. B-C-A-S-C-A. Right. And it's to benefit the Multicultural Development Center that's going up in Palm Bay. They're going to have a special guest speaker, Antoniel Swaby, who's a psychiatrist, looks like, or a neuropsychologist from Health First. The tickets are for sale, and I've put that on our Facebook page, so go to CETA Media, or you can also go to BacascaFlorida.com, and you'll see those. It's at the Rialto Place in Melbourne, the Hilton Rialto. The tickets are $80 a person, but there is a couple price as well, and there's a dress. It's a dress formal event, so all of you who have been...
In other words, it's dress up.
Dress up.
Get your hair done, get your nails done.
I love these kinds of events.
Fancy shoes.
Get all fancy.
Right, and there's going to be music and entertainment and so forth, but certainly a lot of great information.
Right, and Bacasca has a mission, right? And so I'm going to let Enid tell us the mission of Bacasca.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the mission of Bacasca is to basically put up a building where we have purchased 5 acres of land. The land is sitting there, and our mission is to get enough money to start this multicultural building. We are struggling to put our hands on some grants, which we are working at, and
we need people to contribute.
We need people to contribute constantly, because putting up a building nowadays, and the building we would like to put up, runs in the millions of dollars.
A place where we can call home.
A place
where we can meet.
And definitely meet, greet, have fun, have parties, have areas where children can come in and
outreach for the seniors.
Do, schoolwork and things like that. We also would like to have areas where you could, the seniors could come in, maybe have dinner with us at least once a month or as often as we can. And things like that. We're really reaching out to our community to help us so we can help the people around us. Right now, we do outreach programs, but we will prepare food and take it to the seniors. We do this for Thanksgiving. We do this for Christmas. And we do not just do one person. We do the whole family. We take care of the whole family in that way. And we are doing as much as we can to try to get this building on the way.
Right.
So we need your help constantly.
Right. But Enid, how many years ago, we should mention that Bakaska was formed. It wasn't just with the purpose of doing the building. The building came afterwards as a fulfillment of
Bakaska was
of
formed
the growth.
About 28 to 30 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, but this group of...
It's all from all of us
young,
from the
older
Caribbean.
People,
yeah.
Decides that it's time to get a building. So this is why we're working so hard. And
yeah,
we went out and got the property already. So,
Geraldine, you and I became life members of Bakaska because we believe in promoting culture.
Correct.
Education and bringing awareness to our children and those around us of the Caribbean.
Right.
So I'm from Trinidad. Enid is from Jamaica and you're from Haiti.
I'm from Haiti, yeah.
So tell our listeners a little bit about Haiti and how it ties into Bakaska.
Right. You know, I always like to say how we are all grateful and happy to be in America, and we all found each other here in America.
Much
so
America.
We've got to give credit where credit is due, where we are able to thrive. And because we are so rooted in our culture that we remember where we came from. And because the Caribbean, after all, whether you're from St. Kitts, Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, it doesn't matter, Haiti, you know, we all have this common ground that it's all about living life, fulfilling life, and reminding our kids that, yeah, this is where we came from until America received us. So we want to incorporate all of that. And, of course, having a center, I think, would be the best thing ever to bring the teenagers, or the small ones, all the way up to the seniors. And bring us all together, you know, for the common purpose of just being together.
We want to give back.
Yes.
So, Anne-Marie, you're from Trinidad and Tobago. And how do you feel about all of us collectively putting our thoughts, our ideas, our gifts of the countries we were born in and bringing it all into this cultural center and actually having an organization thriving?
I think it would be an amazing way for community service for our Caribbean people, but not only our Caribbean people. We could reach out and invite our American friends and let them understand better
of course, yes,
how our
true.
Cultures are, and they would love our food.
Yes.
Oh, yes, they do.
They do. And you know,
Emery was telling me about macaroni pie today.
Right.
Oh.
Well, you know, the thing is, you're right. You know,
kinds.
Food. I always say, if you want to make peace in the world, cook.
Yeah.
Invite people over.
Yes.
Communicate. Because Bakaska is really good at cooking, inviting people over. And yeah, sometimes you have to pay a little change to come in through the door to help keep the lights open and take care of the place. But that's what it's all about. And that brings us to events. Geraldine and Enid is here to primarily speak about this huge event we're having on Saturday. And Geraldine, you decorated the tables last year, so you remember all the Caribbean countries. What
Correct.
Is the theme this year for Bakaska for the gala? Tell our listeners the date, the time, and what to expect.
Yeah, it's this Saturday, this coming Saturday at the Hilton Rialto. And we're officially starting at 7, but you can start coming earlier because we're going to have a large crowd. And always the theme is nature and color and to bring out. And I think that's because we're all Caribbean people, all happy people. And what Anne-Marie was saying, you know, to let our American friends know this is how we live and bring it closer to here is phenomenal. And so this is what the theme is always going to, and the music, of course, all that ties in to the cheerfulness of the Caribbean. It doesn't matter which island you're from. I think we all have that as a common denominator. So we're going to be decorating with a lot of color, a lot of natural plants, and they'd have to come and see it. And everybody get, and we from the Caribbean, we all love to dress up. And so I'm glad Sita mentioned
yeah,
that.
We do dress up. Well, you know, it's like even when you go home for Carnival, people look forward to being with, we're tribal people in some ways. And we all see what happens in this country and actually all over the world with loneliness. Oh, yeah. People become so lonely. And Enid just said, oh, yes. So now Bokaska in some ways helps a community that people are not sitting around at home being lonely.
No, you can always come into Bokaska and meet new friends, sit and communicate with others. And if you wish, you could play dominoes, men and women. You know,
play cards.
You could play cards. You could play kaluki. You could play whatever you want.
Cricket.
They cricket
play
on
cricket
Sundays.
Too.
On Sundays, cricket is played at the park. It's
kind of like we
park.
Kind of like we brought the Caribbean here.
Yes, we do a lot of stuff at Bokaska, and I would invite anyone who wishes to become a part of a group of people that work together, and you know, just playing. Do everything together. We call Bokaska family.
Yeah.
Because when someone is ill, someone is there to go and visit that person. If someone dies, we're all there.
Yeah.
So it's like
and they always have food, even at the funerals. They have food.
Sure. Oh yes, we do.
Anne Marie, you know, one thing about people from the Caribbean, we know how to put value on people's lives. So what's our secret in the Caribbean? How do we brought that here where we value people? And that's one of the things about Bokaska is that they put value on every life from the Caribbean and here in the United States as well. Everyone feels included.
I think it comes from the fact that we grew up so religious. There are so many religions in our countries. I mean, growing up, I grew up Catholic, but, you know, my friends were Muslims. My friends were Hindus. My friends were Jehovah's Witness. I mean, there were so many different varieties of religion, but you know, the tolerance of others was the main thing.
We respect each other.
Yes, yes.
And you know, we're such a melting pot too. There was so much, you know, from all over. The Europeans came to the islands, you know, after the war, and all that. There's such a mixture.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I never knew what it was like to what you call now racism. There's no such thing.
Yeah,
because we all get along, and you know we all go to school together.
That's right.
It's just fabulous.
So
it can happen.
It starts in preschool and nursery school. You don't see colors until your parents tell you about them, or you find out later on. But children, I mean, I taught school for many years, and children do not see colors in people.
Absolutely.
That's what we were saying with our first guest.
They see colors in crayons,
right.
Not people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we were saying to the first guest, is that it comes from the home when you divide people and put them into groups, you know, who is black, who is white, who is Indian, who is Muslim, who is Christian, you know?
And, you know, and I used to envy my neighbor, my friends' food. I mean, they brought different food, and I wanted their food. They wanted my food.
We traded at lunchtime. We traded.
I remember in elementary school when they were asking about, they were doing like a census in the class, and they asked everybody what they connected with, what nationality. Mm-hmm. And I told them that I was Puerto Rican. Now I'm as white, Catholic, Irish as the world could be, but I just thought I was Puerto Rican until I was six.
So you wanted to belong.
And I did want to belong.
Well,
and everybody else
well,
was,
that's the
you
thing
know,
about, so. For,
so, that is funny.
Yeah. For our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and friends today, this is what we're talking about today. We're talking to a group of ladies who belong to Bokaska, Brevard Caribbean Association, cultural, yeah. Sports and
Brevard
cultural.
Brevard Caribbean American Sports and Cultural Association.
That's right. You got
Brevard
it finally there, Miss Ellen. Say it five times.
Brevard Caribbean American Sports and Cultural Association.
So anyway.
And let me just read their mission that they have on here, because we all summed it up pretty well. But they're an organization which brings together people of Caribbean origin residing in Brevard County and enhances their interactions with other groups through sports, social, and cultural activities.
Perfect.
Education, community service, and political engagement. Bacasca is committed to continuing their contributing to and positively influencing the communities within the county and its diverse population in general. Bacasca believes that the accomplishment of this vision is a progression which requires the engagement and the development of young people, the volunteerism and contributions of its older members, and culminates in its support of the elderly.
Well, you know,
so
amen.
It's just a great way mm-hmm. that they
well, we have the life experience, yep. We have the education, we have the cultural thing going on. We want to bring more young people in. So,
but there's no tradition anymore, too, you know? And I think Bacasca brings that.
Right.
That there's a lot of tradition and a lot of food, like you said.
Yeah, right. That's what I was looking for, tradition.
But here's
tradition,
the thing, right. Enid. How do we get more young people to come in? Because we see the older people struggling. It's challenging to say to our young ones, listen, you have a culture and a history behind your back. Come in. Mm-hmm. What can we do to bring more of them in?
Well, at this point, what we're doing, we are partnering with schools. We mentor students from the elementary schools, and we bring to them and show them the life of different islands of the Caribbean each month. So the kids from Palm Bay Elementary School, they can't get enough of the thoughts and the works and the food of the islands, because every month there's a different island that is represented. And those children are really hanging on to us, because we tutor them, we have reading programs with them, we have programs that they would come to and perform. There's a gentleman there now that is teaching a couple of the little boys to play steel band music. And they had played for the Family Fun Day in September.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we can teach them that they're willing to learn is being taught to them. We have mentoring programs where the gentleman would go to the school, and one child once don't have a father, need a mentor, that person will mentor that little boy or little girl.
And how wonderful, Geraldine, to have such an organization that guide and mentor young people and also is there to hold a hand of an older one when they have no one in a community.
Correct. And I, you know, well, those of you don't know me, but I lived in the Middle East for many years. So I was thirsting for something like that. So when I came to Melbourne 25 years ago, it wasn't quite like that, but to have found Bacasca, I said, this is what we're all searching for, because I grew up in Haiti, moved to the Virgin Islands, my husband's from the Virgin Islands, my kids were born there. And so it's just as, okay, now I've gone full circle. I feel complete, because there was always that longing in the Middle East that said, you know, to reach out to, you know, to our own folks, we call it, but... And Melbourne has come, I think, a long ways, and I'm so proud, because I remember I said, oh my goodness, I wasn't quite ready 25 years ago if I was going to be able to stay here. But,
yeah.
But anyway, but we've come full circle, and right. Bacasca has helped out.
And the good thing about Bacasca is we have so many people from the in Bacasca who are in business, who are in the medical profession, people who are teachers. I mean, we're the Caribbean community. In Palm Bay and Brevard, we are giving back so much, not just of ourselves and our education, but our culture. And Anne-Marie, you being a school, an educator, mm-hmm. retired, of course, you probably were able to share some of your life experiences as well with your students about how we were raised.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they always love stories of where I grew up and what I did, things like that.
Yeah. Because the face of the Caribbean is not just one. The face of the yeah. Caribbean is black, white, green, yeah. whatever color. It's like a crayon box.
We're all mixed. That's right.
We're all mixed. And what I like about the people from the Caribbean as well, I love that we all have the ability to love and appreciate and forgive. And I do think that that comes from our culture. Because we can talk to someone, and 5 minutes later, you're having a disagreement, But we know, you know, Americans say that, yes, Americans say we have to agree, right? Americans say, you know, agree to disagree, right? They say agree to disagree and on Facebook and on social media. Trinidadians, Jamaicans, Haitians, Barbadians, Bahamian, you can have a quarrel with someone and 5 minutes later you're having a Carib or a Stag or a Guinness in a bar with that same person, a rum and Coke. Well, here's the thing. Enid, what is it about the people from the Caribbean?
Sita, you know what happens? Because we speak with a lot of emotion, you know, with our hands and emotion, and people think that we're fighting.
But what is it about us that makes, I mean, I am one that every day is a good day. Every day you wake up is a great day. Fabulous. Forgive and forget and move on. And it seems as though a lot of us from the Caribbean have that attitude. We don't like negativity.
We don't carry a grudge.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from our... parents.
Yeah.
Our parents taught us to love the neighbor. Mm-hmm. The neighbor and the neighbor and the neighbor. Mm-hmm. And your parents, when you were a child, would say, take this down to Miss Helen because Miss Helen doesn't have this. Take this to Miss Sita. Sure. Miss Sita doesn't have this. And whatever they have, they share. And you were taught to share from you were a child.
That's true.
So now you're an adult, you just carried on. Because you were taught the right thing.
You know what, Anne-Marie, you're right. You remember when sometimes you would plant crops? You would plant okra or bodhi or same, or maybe you have a couple extra chickens.
We did share.
I mean, and I think that's the thing about the Caribbean. Once we come to America and our roots are here, we still have that belonging. It's a sense of belonging, and we keep it. And so I think it's wonderful that Bokaska is trying to give this advice to the younger generation, because we are seeing right now in a world where there's so much hate and division, and you know, people are insane about this is mine and this is yours and we don't belong. But I like that the Caribbean, we're still trying to bring that here.
But you know, I've been to small towns in America.
And they live like that.
Oh, yes, they do.
You bring Marion, I lived in Marion, Indiana, and it was all about family and friends. And religion, people did. And I have always said, you know, like in the Caribbean, people didn't go to physicians as much. And Geraldine, you might want to pick up on this. They travel, they see each other, they visit. They don't have the stress level that we have here. And why do you think that?
It's an easygoing, much easier going. Maybe the sunshine helps as well. But all of our grandparents used the bush tea and all that. I don't remember, getting medicine and all that. It was always, you had a cold, you had a hibiscus tea, you know, that's what you did. And it was all natural stuff, or ginger and all that, you know. Mm-hmm. And to this day, let me tell you, I stay away from medicine. I just love my stuff, all the natural things that we have around us.
Yes.
And I keep
on some of them.
We're all like that because we walked
footsteps
a lot too. Yeah. I mean, how many of us, we didn't think twice to walk a mile or two to get a taxi?
And what about 5 miles to school?
Yes.
You did that. Let me guess. 5 miles bare feet.
And you better. You better learn when you get there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, all of us have our beautiful experiences that we bring to the United States. And like Geraldine said, we are blessed that we were able to immigrate and live here. But giving back is what it's all about. And so, I mean, what else can we tell our listeners about people from the Caribbean so that if they can't attend the gala, they can go on the website and donate towards Bokaska and our building?
And nothing is too small. We always will accept any amount.
We accept whatever we can give.
Mm-hmm. And they're always welcome.
Right.
And they're always welcome to the building. We were at 2174 Harris Avenue, which runs parallel to Palm Bay Road. They can come in, let themselves be known. We are there on Monday evenings. We're there for meetings on Tuesdays. We are there on Wednesdays, but Friday night is karaoke night, and you can come and sing.
Right.
Yes.
Now, Ellen, this is your job. I know you have that computer open. Give our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends the website for Bokaska, because the gala is one event, but there's so many events coming up that they can go on Google and check it out.
Yep. So the website is Bokaska, BCASCAFL.com. So it's BokaskaFlorida.com.
Right.
and you'll be able to see all of their events. They have their about page. They've got great pictures of the events that are going on. You'll see that not everyone is from Caribbean descent, or at least you'll see a multitude of different colors and
sizes. Yeah, people
get
nervous when they see a white person. We do have whites. Right. We do have Indians.
Yes,
you know, when President Obama met me,
I know three of the people that are on here. They're from New Jersey. The three people that I saw pictures of, they're not from New Jersey.
You know, when I met President Obama, he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Trinidad and Tobago." He said, "Say what?" I said, "Yeah, Indians." Then when I met Elijah Cummins, who just passed away, same thing. I mean, we need to spread it over, like Anne-Marie, Tatiana, and I went out, and we're three Trinnies, Indian, Chinese, white, Bonnie's white. We had a variety.
You have Chinese Jamaicans
as well. So Anne-Marie, what would you tell Trinidadians who are not involved? Yeah. How do we get them to say, hey, I'm going to go to this gala?
Well, first of all, besides the food, there's the music.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's the music. Steel band.
I think like, yeah.
They're going to have steel band music.
Oh, they're going to have steel band music, right? Yes.
Oh, and also the band to dance.
And the band.
To
dance. And Geraldine, you know there's a lot of Caribbean people that want to be like chicken licking and just show up when in the end. How do we get more people from the Caribbean to A, vote, B, get engaged in their communities, and C, attend our gala and support Bokaska?
Well, we want to thank you, Sita, for giving us the opportunity to be able to put it out on the air, because so often we're so busy in our lives, we forget that not everybody knows about what we're trying to do. So this was fabulous. So we cannot say thank you enough. And I was talking about, you know, they know that we're different sometimes, the way we act. And, of course, we know how to dance. That nobody can take that away from us.
Oh, no.
We
know
born
how
with it.
To dance.
Right.
Yes.
So, Enid, now you've been with Bokaska for a long time, and I want you to give that 30-second speech to the people from the Caribbean who are sitting on their butts, and they need to come out and support this gala, and they need to come and join Bokaska and get involved.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am inviting you to come to our gala and just get all dressed up. Get your tickets, get all dressed up, come to the Hilton and have fun, because you will have fun. Yeah. We are having steel band music. We're having good food. We're having good friends, lots of politicians, and, you know, we're just engaging everybody who is willing to be a part of Bokaska. Come in anytime you want. Come on a Friday night if you want to start on a Friday night, because lots of us are there on Friday night. And we do karaoke now. You could dance. You could sing. You could do anything within reason. So please come
and
join us.
Paul, let me tell you that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is going to be listed as a sponsor of this event. So our website, our station is going to be on there. Ellen is going to be co-hosting. I was supposed to be there, but I can't. I'm going to Trinidad for Diwali, my festival of lights. But for everyone who's tuned in today, please go on the website, check out the gala, get your tickets, bring a friend. If you can't come, we need your money, a donation. We need your expertise and your experience, Anne-Marie. You could go ahead and join as well with me, because I became a member, and we could bum around and do things together.
Okay.
And how many, who knows the Caribbean countries, really quick to rattle it off before we go off air? Ooh. Geraldine, you should notice at the tip of your fingertip, you're a travel agent and you own your own agency.
Global Tourism Travel, yeah. Yeah, what do you mean? All the islands?
All the Caribbean islands.
Islands. Oh, Haiti, Dominican Republic,
Trinidad,
with same island, Trinidad, Tobago,
St. Kitts, Nevis,
San
Martin,
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Grenada.
Grenada, yeah, St. Kitts, Nevis.
All right, Ellen.
Curacao, Aruba.
Curacao, yes.
That's right. We got such an education today. Thank you so much to Simon. What's his last name?
Cohen.
Yes.
Simon Davis Cohen.
Davis Cohen. Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for coming, calling in. And ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. Make sure you buy those tickets to the Bokaska Gala, the One Love at the Melbourne Rialto. And we will hear from you next week on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.